do it this time. There's something over, maybe the other pastors have probably noticed this too, or other leaders. It seems like for the past couple of months, our prayer and praise has gotten even more. Actually, you probably know, your legs are probably tired. You keep having to go all over the place. That's the sign of a healthy church. When a church shares their burdens with one another, when a church cares about one another, all that I would challenge you with prayer and praise is that when you go home, you pray. Not just when we pray, you know, to start the service, but when you go home, if there's ones you can think of, or maybe you want to write them down, I'm not saying you have to write them down, but if you think about them in your heart and you pray for the people of this church, because everybody needs prayers. Everybody needs prayers. We all go through tough times. We all go through things. Life happens. Lots of bad things can happen in someone's life. You can have not a lot of peace in life. But your brothers and sisters in Christ should pray for one another. Amen? Amen. There's nothing like being a part of the church. This will be the last of the series. I've done a three-part series, and this is week number three, or however you want to say this. But I love the songs that we sang. Oh, wow, do we have freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Are we not free in Jesus Christ? Oh, we should speak His name everywhere we go. Why? Because there's no hope like Jesus Christ. There's no peace like Jesus Christ. If you need peace in your life, you're not going to find it anywhere else but Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give you sustaining peace, that peace that is that transcends all understanding. He's the only one that can give that to your life. And listen to me, Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive sins. He's the only one that has the power to get me into heaven. He's the only one that can get me to the Father. He's the only one that can restore my relationship with God. Oh, praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, because we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Amen, church. I want to read first, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. I've stayed in Ephesians for this series. Man, Ephesians is filled with a lot of awesome things. A lot of them are centered around the church. What the church should be like. What the church should do. All those different types of things. There's other things in the book of Ephesians, but I love the book of Ephesians. It's going to be Ephesians chapter 5, but I want to read 1 Peter 1:14-15. And it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Listen to me. There is no one more holy than God. God is so holy. He is so amazing. In Exodus chapter 15, after the Red Sea was split, something amazing in verse 11 says, oh, who among the gods is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, and works in wonders like God. And let me tell you, in Revelation chapter 4, there are these four creatures that surround the throne of God. What do they say? They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's no one more holy. There's no one more perfect than the Lord. There's no one more set apart than God Himself. Listen to me, we all need somebody, something that is holy and perfect, that doesn't change. Who is that? There's only one, and His name is God. Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. Glory to God. He is holy. He is so holy, He calls you and I to be holy. Be holy, for I am holy. He calls us to be holy, church. There's no one more holy than Christ. And listen to me, church. The church is filled with a lot of people that do not care to live holy lives, who don't care about holiness. It's too far. It's too hard of a reach. You can't reach perfect holiness. And I'll say, you're right, you don't get to perfect holiness until you step into the presence of God. But there's many believers who do not care to pursue holiness at all. They don't care about living holy lives. And that's a messed up church. That's a messy church when a bunch of believers don't care to live holy lives. All they say is, I punched my ticket, I'm good to go. Oh, wow, what a sad thing to say. Oh, I punched my ticket, I'm good to go. I don't have to, I got grace in my life. I don't got to live a holy life to the Lord. I don't have to dedicate my life to the Lord. I don't have to be committed to the Lord. Oh, what a sad thing to say. Oh, and listen to me very closely. There are so many churches today, walking away from holiness in the pursuit of worldliness. So many churches are walking away from holiness in pursuit of worldliness, something that will waste away, something that won't last forever, and it has nothing of substance at all. But the one who has the most substance, who can give you all things, is the Lord, because all things are His. Amen, church. All things are His, and He calls us to be holy. So let me ask you today, church, are you pursuing holiness in your life? Do you care about holiness in your life? Do you keep sinning and sinning and sinning over and over again? Do you care about holiness in your life? Listen to me, the first part of this series is the church should be precious to us. Oh, wow, should it be precious to us? Why? Because we didn't deserve it, but God adopted us. He made us a part of the family of God. And the last one that I just did was the church should be united. We should be fellow brothers in Christ. We should, brothers and sisters in Christ, we should strive to use our gifts for the kingdom of God, to work together to build the kingdom of God. That's awesome. But let me tell you something, church, that the church should be holy. It has to be holy. Why does it have to be so holy? It's because it has to look different than the world. Too many churches look like the world. Too many churches look like the world. Why would anybody, why would a lost person want to come into the house of God that looks like the den of thieves? Why would anyone want to walk into a place that's filled with so many sins? They don't care about holiness. Listen to me, there's a lot of things in churches, that so-called churches, they have a cross on their steeple, whatever it might look like, a cross on their door. They say that they're a church, but they allow so many different things in the church. They allow so many sins in the church. How can you call yourself a church if you do not obey the Word of God? If you do not obey the Word of God, the church should be precious to us. We should be united in the church, and we should strive for holiness in the church. A lot of people don't care about holiness anymore. What do we care about? Happiness. Got to get my best life now. I got to get my best life here. Pursuit of happiness rather than holiness. God calls us to something so much higher. So a huge standard of holiness. And He promises us that He'll help you. He'll sanctify you. He'll make you right. You don't have to pursue holiness on your own. God helps us to pursue holiness. I would fall to temptation after temptation if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit in my life. Amen, church? Maybe you're the same as me. I'm not for sure, but listen to me. I love that verse where it says there in 1 Peter, it says, "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Who are we? We're children of God. Our Father is holy, and He calls us to be holy. We have to live holy lives. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The church should be holy. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Amen, church? Did Christ not give His life for us? And what is this? What does Paul begin to say? It says, "Follow God's example." Some of your translations might say, "Imitate God." Imitate God as what? As dearly loved children. Act like a child imitates their father. There's something Savannah always says to me anytime I say some of these phrases that I say. What does she say? She says, "You sound just like your dad. You sound just like your dad." And it's like, oh, are you kidding me? I do not sound like my dad. Listen to me, men, just really quick. Those of you that are married and those of you that are not, don't tell your wife that she sounds like her mother. Worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do. Follow God, not the world. Amen, church? Follow God, not the world. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. That's so true. Many of you who have children know that a lot of them do exactly what you do. They want to be like dad. When they're little, think about when they were little. Maybe they don't want to do that now, but think about when your kids were little. They're like, "Oh, I want to be just like dad. I want to be just like mom. Mom does this for work. I want to do that for work. Dad does this for work. I want to do that." That's so precious. Be holy, for I am holy, as God says. God wants us to be as dearly loved children who obeys their parents, who obeys their father. I love that picture, and it says, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. God is our Father, and he knows all things. Amen, church. He knows all things, and he calls us to walk in the way of love. Listen to me, this is not just an emotional love. This is not just to feel love. This is a love that is in action. I love the picture he gives us. He says, just as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? He died on the cross for us. He sacrificed his life for us. And Paul says that be living sacrifices to God. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. Jesus Christ says, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a love that calls us to action. How do you walk in the way of love? You sacrifice your life. Who do you sacrifice it to? You sacrifice it to God. You want to start living holy lives? Start giving your life to God. Stop giving it to the world that's not going to get you anywhere. Start giving your life to God. Lord, do you want me to go here? Lord, do you want me to go there? Lord, my wallet, it's yours. You can do whatever you want with it. When you start to say those things, wow, does God seem to use us everywhere we go. Everywhere you go. When you start to live a holy life, God seems to use you everywhere you go. You want to start being used by God? Start pursuing holiness in your life. Start pursuing holiness in your life. Just as Christ loved us. Follow God's example. Do not follow the world's example. It will always lead you astray. Many of you know who have followed the world's example. I, being one of them, it has always left me astray when I follow anyone else but the Lord. Anyone else but the Holy Spirit in my life. Verse 3 says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. You can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That is a tough verse, church. That's a really tough verse, but I love what he says there in the beginning. He says, not even a hint. Do not let even a hint of sexual immorality, do not let even a hint of impurity or of greed. Why is that so important? Because as soon as you let a hint of those things in your life, your witness is done. It's cut off. You cannot share the gospel of Jesus Christ when you have sexual immorality in your life, when you have impurities in your life, when you have greed in your life. And you want to know the three things that are wreaking havoc on the church today? It's those three things. Sexual immorality, impurity, and of greed. There's too many pastors falling into the trap of sexual sin. There's too many pastors and deacons and leaders of the church that keep stealing money from the church. This is a horrible thing. And who sees all this? The world sees all of it. You want people to see Christ in you? Start to pursue holiness in your life. Not even a hint of sexual morality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for who? God's holy people. 1 Peter talks about who we are, a holy nation, a holy priesthood, God's people. God is holy. He's set apart. He calls us to be set apart, not even a hint. The church should be pursuing holiness, not worldliness, holiness. The church should not care about worldliness. But there's many churches today filled with filth. And the world asks, why would we want to be a part of the same filth we're a part of now? Think about that for just a moment. When you go about your life, where you work, where you go, wherever you might go, do people say, man, that person's different? Do people say that person's different? Or do they say, they're just like me? They're just like me. And listen to me, I want to just clarify this before we keep going. This does not mean we're perfect people. But we're a people that should be ready for repentance. We're a people that should be ready for the conviction of God and do something about it when it happens. Pursue holiness. We should look different than the world. Verse 5 is tough. It's tough. What does it say? For For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Listen to me. In heaven, God doesn't let sexual morality in. God doesn't let impurities in. God doesn't let greed or pride or liars or whatever go on. So listen to me very closely. Praise the Lord, He forgives sins. Amen, church. Praise the Lord that when you accepted Jesus Christ, He's washed you as white as snow. Praise the Lord that He's cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. Listen to me. Praise the Lord that He forgives sin because God is holy. He's perfect. Sin does not enter into God. Sin doesn't enter into God. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. But this is a warning, church. It's meant to be a hard verse. It's a warning. I want to just say this, and I pray that you listen to it closely, because some of us are living in sin, and we do not care. And if you're living in sin and you do not care, I would beg you to ask the question to the Lord, am I really saved? Do I really have an inheritance with God? These are these hard verses in the New Testament that we see often, and Paul often is the one that says them. Listen to me very closely, church. If you keep living a life of sin with no regard to what you're doing, with no guilt in your life for the things you're doing, I would question, do I really know the Lord? Because listen to me, when the Lord comes into your life, He doesn't leave you old, He makes you new. Amen, church? When the Lord comes into your life, does it takes work? He sanctifies you. It's a process at times. Some of us, the Lord's like, you're done right now. Amen, Jeremy? You're done right now. But sometimes the Lord walks with us. He sanctifies us. He makes us better over time and time again. But you always should be looking for God to keep changing your heart. That's pursuing holiness. That's pursuing the heart of God. Amen, church? Amen. We are God's holy people. I love that. Right there it says, because these are improper for God's holy people. That's you and I. We are God's holy people. It's time to start acting like it. Let that sink in for a moment. It's time to start acting like God's holy people. God's holy people don't commit sexual immorality. God's holy people don't do all kinds of impurities. They're not greedy because those are improper. They don't do foolish talks of obscenity or coarse joking. That would be like making sexual jokes, things like that. But what does it say? It says, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a huge mark to the believer of Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen, church? That's a mark of the awesome work that God has done in our lives. We should be rejoicing at the fact that He's saved our life. That we were once people who committed sexual immorality. We were once those who committed all those things I just said. But Christ has made us new. He's given us a new relationship with the Lord. He's restored our relationship. He's delivered us. He's reconciled us back to God. There's no one that could do that but Jesus Christ. Amen, church? There's no one more powerful to save your life, to help you, to sanctify you, to pursue holiness in your life. It is so important for us to pursue holiness. The church ought to be filled with holy people. Why? Because it's filled with God's people. You and I, if you're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're saved, you are God's holy people, and it's time to start acting like it. Amen, church? Amen. Verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath has come on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Listen to me very closely. Verse 7 is not saying don't have anything to do with them. Don't ever talk to them in their life. Some of your translations, I think, probably say it better. It says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Listen, if someone says, hey, let's go to the bar and get drunk, you ought not to be partakers with them. You ought to walk away. If someone tries to lead you into sin, you ought to walk away. And it's not saying don't talk to the sinner, don't pursue the lost. You should be pursuing. That's our calling. That's our mission. That's the Great Commission. All those different types of things. But listen to me. Do not listen to the world when they try to convince you that good is bad and bad is good. Amen, church? Do not let the world convince you that good is bad and bad is good. Because listen to me, they've been trying to do that for a long time. They've been trying a long time to deceive. Satan is very good at allowing the world to say good is bad and bad is good. And listen to me very closely. If you don't want to become deceived, read your word. How do you know what is holy if it wasn't for the word of God? You want to know how to pursue holiness in your life. You want to know how to be a holy Christian, a holy believer, a holy son and daughter to the King. Read the Word of God, because that will never deceive you. It will never deceive you. And it says in verses that no one deceive you with empty words. They're going to try to convince you with everything. Oh, but it's pretty fun. It's really fun. It feels really good. All those different things. I've been there. I've been in the world. I know exactly what they say, and it's a lie. It's a lie. Oh, it's good for you. No, it's not. No, it's not. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Read the word of God. Why are churches being so filled with filth and sin? Because we've forgotten the Word of God. When we read the Word of God and apply it to our lives, we're less likely to commit sins in our life. Because I don't know about you, but when I read the Word of God, wow, does it sure convict at times. Wow, does it sure convict at times. And I'm left there. I can't say anything. What am I going to say? Lord, I think you're wrong. The person that knows all things, the person that knows everything, the person that's majestic in holiness, the person who has angelic beings around the throne of God saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. I'm not going to question him, because he knows what's best. And he doesn't lead or deceive into destruction. My God don't do that. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Amen, church? This is such an amazing verse. In verse 8 it says, You were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Amen. You are the light of the world. You now have the light of Christ in your life. You were once in darkness. You were once in darkness. You were once in sin. You were once away from Christ. But because of the love of God, because of Christ dying on the cross, because he was raised from the dead, all those things that we know so and we hold so dearly, he's given us and made us the light of Christ, the light of the world. It's time to start acting like the light of the world. It says, live as children of the light, not the children of darkness. Live as children of the light. And it says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, in righteousness, in truth. You want to pursue holiness in your life, start pursuing goodness, righteousness, and truth. It will never lead you astray in the body of Christ. When you pursue righteousness and truth and goodness, all those things come from the Lord. It will never lead you astray. The awesome good fruits that God gives us. The amazing fruits that God gives us. Live as children of the light. You were once in darkness. Think about that. Let it sit in for just a moment. You were once in darkness, but he's made you the light of the world. He's made you the light in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're no longer old, but new. The old is gone and the new is here. The old creation is gone. You're not your past sins anymore. Amen? Amen. You're not your past sins anymore. Christ has given you awesome and wonderful gifts that we talked about last time. But listen to me, this Holy Spirit, this awesome gift that he's given us, has given us all these fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the light, goodness and righteousness and truth. Oh, wow, is there so much truth? Phil talked about this last week where he talked about, oh, there's not this truth or that truth or all those different types of truth. There's only one truth, and it's God. It's the Word of God. The world's going to kind of try to convince you of their goodness, of their righteousness, and their truth. But the Word of God says there's no goodness like the goodness of God. There's no righteousness like the righteousness of God. And there's no truth like the truth of God. He is good. He is wonderful. Live as children of the light. Live as children of the light. Verse 10, it says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what the will of God is for your life. What pleases the Lord the most? Obedience. The best thing that you can do as a believer in Jesus Christ is say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. That's a step to pursuing holiness. Can you say that today, church? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do big things. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do hard things. But can you say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. That's the right step in pursuing holiness. And there it says in verse 11, it says, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. How do you expose these deeds of darkness? With the light of Jesus Christ. The light that Christ has put inside you, that's how you expose the deeds of darkness. Listen to me, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. You want to start by exposing darkness. Start talking about your King. Start talking about your Savior. Start talking about Jesus Christ, because He's the only one who has power to expose darkness. He's the only one that has power to expose the darkness of this world. And listen to me. It says, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do with them. Do not go to the world for advice. It will lead you astray. Do not go to mediums for advice. It will lead you astray. There's a story in the Bible that talks all about that. Many of us know. Don't go to the world for advice. Go to God who gives perfect advice. Who gives perfect... Stop going to the world. Too many believers are going to the world. And what happens when we keep going to the world? Worldly things start to infiltrate the church. Why do we see so many worldly things in the church? Because we keep going to the world. Rather than going to the one to expose the darkness of this world. Listen to me. The world will say, like I said, bad is good and good is bad. But let me remind you of this today, church. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Sex outside of marriage is still a sin. Drunkenness is still a sin. Pornography is still a sin. Homosexuality is still a sin. Lying, still a sin. Murdering, still a sin. It sounds strange that I even have to say this, but being a pedophile is still a sin. It's still a sin. And this is why verse 12 says this. It is shameful even to mention what is disobedient, the disobedient do in secret. There are things I can't say in this pulpit. That's what deeds of darkness is. Shameful. Shameful things that are disgusting in the sight of God. And we think, oh, it's just the world doing that. No, it's not. It's people who claim to be followers of Christ. And again, I'll say, the world says, why would we want to be a part of the same filth? The church should be holy. It should be set apart. It should look different. You were once in darkness, but now you're the light of Christ. Verse 13 says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Listen to me, church, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and realize that we're not as good as we think we are. It's time to wake up and say, maybe I need to pursue holiness a little better. Maybe I need to remove the sins that are in my life. It's time to wake up from our slumber. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When you say, Lord, is there something in my life that you need to see? Is there something in my life that needs to be exposed? And let me tell you, when you say that to God, He'll expose it. He'll show you what you need to work on in your life. He'll show you it's time to wake up and be a light. Let's finish this up. It says, verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Amen, church? Amen. Be very careful how you live, because why? The world is watching you. Be very careful of how you live, because all it takes is one slip up, one mess up, one sin to derail your whole witness in Christ, your whole witness about the Lord Jesus Christ, because the world is watching. And when you sin, you're not pursuing holiness. When you sin, you're not pursuing holiness. And when you live as the world does, you become ineffective. You want to be effective for the kingdom of God, but when you pursue worldliness rather than holiness, you become ineffective for the kingdom of God. God won't use you. God won't use you until you're ready to clean up your life. I pray if you're a believer in Christ, you want to be used by God. You want the opportunity to be used by God. Verse 16, it says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Oh, every day we get closer to the Lord. Every day we get closer to Christ coming back. Make every opportunity you have. Live holy, share the gospel in your life. Why is holiness so important? Because it shows the power of God. We shouldn't live holy lives. We're sinners. We were once in darkness. But the power of God is so powerful to make us holy, to give us the righteousness of Christ, so that we can enter into the presence of God, the one, the most holy, the most holy of holies. You get to step there because of Christ. That's why it's so important for you to be holy, so the world sees that same holiness. The church should be holy. It has to be holy. See, when a church wants to be together, when a church loves to be together, when it's precious to them to come to church, to be with their brothers and sisters in Christ, to get to worship God, it's awesome. And when a church is pursuing unity with each other, oh wow, is it so amazing to see. And when a church is pursuing holiness in the Lord, oh, it's such an awesome thing to see a church that's set apart from the world. It's such an amazing thing. Verse 19, listen to it very closely. And when they are doing this, it's so amazing. So speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God for the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When church is precious to you, when you live in unity, when you pursue holiness, and when you sing songs to the Lord with everything in your heart, when you pour out your heart in worship, when we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we give thanks to God for the Father of everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is such a beautiful picture of what the church should be. What the church should be. The church, it looks amazing and beautiful. Why? Because it's a church after God's heart. When church is precious to you, when you are building unity in the church, and when you're pursuing holiness, oh wow, is that church after God's heart. That's the church I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a church after God's heart. I pray you want the same thing. I pray you want to be a part of a church after God's heart. Let me read it one more time before I close. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Amen, church. Let's stand.